Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career. And trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. My guest today is a business strategist and a growth expert. She has a reputation for being one of the best business strategists for entrepreneurs who want to sell high-value products and services. She believes that you can have it all, the impact, the influence, and the income you desire, all while building systems that give you the time to enjoy the success that you have created. The twists and turns of her life range from building multiple companies to leaving it all behind to backpack around the world to becoming a yoga teacher and living in the jungles of Costa Rica to starting over as an expectant single mother and to building the successful international consulting company that she runs today. I wanted to have her on the show because she has bounced back after so many wild twists and turns to create the business and the life that she loves. Her name is Jessica Yarbrough, and I hope that you will enjoy meeting her. So Jessica, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I've been looking forward to this conversation. And I know that you have an interesting story, as you say, with some twists and turns. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. I would say that my background is in business. I started managing companies at a very young age. I actually built a startup here in San Diego, like literally from the ground up. We didn't even have desks or computers on day one. And it was very fast paced in my early 20s. And it was kind of a dream come true to build this company, but it was also a lot of stress. And so I had a kind of spiritual awakening, if you would, during the process of building this company and realized it wasn't exact that there was things I wanted to do outside of this. And there was personal development work. There was a journey that I needed to take. And so I actually walked away from the company I built and bought a, you know, one-way ticket to Southeast Asia and had my own eat, pray, love journey. I spent about 4 years diving deep into who I am, traveling the world, studying spirituality, becoming a yoga teacher. I mean, really from Buddhist meditation centers in Thailand to yoga centers in Bali to living and working in the jungles of Costa Rica. You know, I had the full spectrum of this experience and, you know, really had kind of left the business world. I was like, okay, that chapter's complete. Well, fast forward, came back to the US. I ended up pregnant with my daughter and had another moment of clarity. Of course, when you're bringing a child into the world, where obviously, you know, the lifestyle, this fun, this exploration that I've been doing wasn't congruent with what I wanted to create for her. And I went back from literally ground zero with a newborn baby and built my consulting business from the ground up now 8 years ago to, you know, a seven-figure success story and having created really huge client wins for new emerging and established coaches, consultants, and trainers around the world.
Wow. There's so much in there, Jessica. Yeah. So much to explore. So it's okay. So a couple of questions. It sounds like Right from the beginning, you had that entrepreneurial mindset.
Absolutely.
Why do you think that was?
I think it's an innate gift. You know, my mother used to tell me, you can make something out of nothing. You have anything you touch turns to gold. And, you know, even when I remember when I was younger, I would go into a job, I would immediately go in there and ascend because I would say, whoa, I don't like the way things are being done here. You could be making money here, and then they'd be like, whoa, oh my gosh, okay, boom, you're a manager. And it would happen every time. I could never go in there and just do my job. I would always go in there and transform the place. And so, you know, the people that hired me just saw like huge, they gave me the opportunity. They took a chance on me because I was always really young. And then, you know, they saw the results. And so this is just something I was born with. I really do believe that. And that gave me honestly the confidence to walk away and start again and do all of these different things because I have always trusted in my, not only in my innate gifts, but I've also trusted, and this is a big one, I've always trusted in the divine unfolding of my life. Like you may not know why you are here and why everything is happening to you in this moment. And it might be a total crap show, right?
That's right.
And you will not know the answer. But 3 months, 6 months, 9 months from now, you're going to have that aha moment, that click where you're like, ah, that was the lesson. And that's why God or universe put me, you know, in that situation. And so I've had so much of that happen throughout my life that there is a trust that comes with that. And I think if you can have that trust and that unwavering faith in the unfolding of your life, that if you move through with commitment and purpose, obviously you're not sitting from the sidelines, you are an active participant and co-creator, and that you can really do anything in life.
Yeah, that is great. I think that we miss that. The, how'd you put it? The divine unfolding of our lives.
Yes.
Because we get, why do you think we miss it? I mean, I have my own idea there, but why do you think we miss it?
I don't know why people think that they don't own their power, right? They give it over to other things. I mean, I think we have a real problem in our society with a lack of personal responsibility. We do a whole session on that. People tend to downplay their own abilities, you know, or they project the reason why I'm not this or that is because I have all these odds stacked against me. And that is total BS. And we can see that because there's enough stories to point to immigrants coming to the United States and building their fortunes who had a lot more odds, you know, escaping, you know, war or whatever it may be, extreme poverty and building a life. They had a lot more odds stacked against them to say, than say someone who grew up in middle America. So we have these deep beliefs systems that hold us back. And a lot of, I would say, blame or lack of, you know, self-responsibility when it comes to the design, the creation, the execution of your own life, right? Like executing on what you want.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love how you put it, owning their own power. Something I wanted to ask you about, you said something that your mother always said, you know, was that you could make something out of nothing.
Yes.
Do you recall, like, from what age did she tell you that?
Oh, I mean, I was young. I was entrepreneurial. I would help her in anything. She'd bring me into her office. You know, my mother, just so I will give credit where credit is due. My mother is incredible. She's retired now, but she was a pioneer in the women's education and minority movement. She was the president of National Association of Women in Construction. She was on the training education side, but she really rose up in a man's world and paved the way for so many women. And in a time where it wasn't very fun to be a woman in the business world, you know, we just didn't have the laws and everything in place that we do now. So she always was a role model for me that you can do and be anything, but she challenged me and she put me in situations where I could grow, I could stretch. And so she, you know, saw that potential in me. And she always said that you have that magic, that secret sauce, which I think makes me a visionary. And the thing about, for anyone listening, if you're not a visionary, that's okay. But likely all of us have innate talents that you may not recognize. And you assume that the world all has them and they don't.
They don't.
So part of my job as a consultant, as a strategist, is to pull that genius out of you, to extrapolate it and codify that into something you can go out there and run with and own. And so just know that you don't have to be a visionary to be successful. You can be very successful with the talents that you do have.
Yeah. I think that's really important because I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'm not X. I don't have that strength. But what strengths do you have?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, so, absolutely.
I mean, I think that's so powerful. What do you think when, okay, I've got so many questions I want to ask. So let's say that you're working with someone. Yes. Walk us through, what does that look like? How do you help someone?
Well, one of the first things I do, whether they're, well, let me say, first of all, I tend to work with established business owners. I can help a total newbie. It's just my focus is on scaling up. So most of the time, I'm not someone's first coach or consultant. But one of the first things I do is take a look at what their biggest wins, what I call their biggest wins were throughout their life or through their career. So whether if you're in business and you've had major client wins, great. If you're coming out of the corporate world, tell me about your wins that you've had. What achievements have you done? And I don't mean getting an award necessarily or a certification. I mean, tell me about a time where you created a massive transformation within your company. And so looking at that, so I can start to sift through and find the gold and really start to pull out what your greatest gifts are and align that to a gap in the marketplace, a problem that you can solve. Because my focus is around ultra high ticket. So if you're going to sell a $50,000 or $100,000 plus program, you got to solve a big problem. And we cannot look at the small. We have to look at big, big problems and how you can help take someone from the pain of their current reality into their ultimate vision and what that looks like.
Wow. What that sounds amazing. What do you find are some common challenges that people have when they're trying to grow and scale?
Oh, well, many challenges from an internal perspective. And it really depends on their level. So we have different levels of CEO growing pains. And people come to me for three reasons. How do I sell? How do I put together an ultra high-end six-figure program? How the heck do I find people to buy it? And then I'm at the stuck at the center of the business. How do I scale?
Yeah.
Now we can unpack any of those, but underlying our mindset issues as well. Even my most successful clients have a bit of imposter syndrome, you know, well, I'm not ready. I don't know enough. Am I really ready to charge more? I can help them eliminate that very quickly. External could be, you know, I don't have the infrastructure in place, or I don't have time. I can't do more to make more. I've hit that limit. And that's when we talk about how to pull them out of the center of the business so that they can uncap their income.
Okay. So I'm hearing both the inner game kind of and the outer game stuff.
It's always both. It is always both. Now you can be stronger in one area than another, but there's still fundamental, like from an external perspective, we're going to have to restructure your business. We're going to have to redesign your offers, your programs. We're going to have to recreate your value proposition in the marketplace, revamp your messaging, upgrade your positioning, build your systems and team. There's the whole external factor, but then there's the internal, because part of this growth is heavily investing in, you know, in the support that you need, both from an outside kind of strategic standpoint and also from an internal. You cannot grow a business without the right team. So typically those people are at that $250,000 to $350,000 mark. There's the internal of being able to know that you know enough, you can do enough to charge more. I mean, most of my clients have 10 to 20 years experience under their belt, and yet they're not charging enough to sustain themselves, nor to create the legacy that they really want for their lives and for their families. And so really owning your worth and knowing that now is the time that you don't need, please, for your listeners, you do not need another certification. Your certification is not, unless you are in finance or wealth management, or you're in medical, you don't need your more and more certifications. Like, it's great. Education is beautiful. Implementation and realizing an ROI on what the knowledge and experience and skill set that you already have is far more powerful. Mm-hmm. And so just knowing that you know enough, you are enough. Yes, we need to do some work so that we can present that to the world. Those internal challenges we absolutely have to overcome. And I always tell people the fastest way to overcome your self-worth is to prove to your subconscious mind that you can sell something really big and do it. And that's what we can help you do. And that's much faster than mantras, meditations, any of the other things that you can do.
So the action piece.
The action. Because then if you literally think about it, if you're journaling every day, I am worth X amount of money, I can do this, and you're doing affirmations, and I love personal development work and all of that. That is a long-term strategy. But if you turn around and sell to your dream client, maybe you want to go in and you want to coach a team of executives, you know, and for the transformation, you're going to coach five of them over the course of a year, and you sell it for $150,000. Well, now there's no arguing with your subconscious mind.
That's right.
There's no affirmations needed. You've done it. And what you've done is create a new reference point, because the only ceiling that exists is the one that you create in your mind.
Yep.
And this is for entrepreneurs. There is a different ceiling when it comes to the corporate world, okay? Because their budgets and everything else. And we can talk about how to lift those. But when it comes to entrepreneurship, there are no limits except the one you have in your mind. Every entrepreneur has a number in their mind of what they're worth. Every mm-hmm. single one. And that is what they believe. And they will always believe that until they change their reference point into something mm-hmm. bigger. And now they say, aha, I can charge this. I'm worth more. And the only thing any client has ever said to me after doing this, can you guess what it is?
I wish I would have done it sooner.
I wish I would have done it sooner.
Yeah.
Because if you don't own your worth, no one will.
No.
We teach people our worth. We show them how to value us.
Yeah. Would you speak to that a little bit more? Because I think that's really important.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason why I can speak to it now, and I think, like I said, when you talk about the divine unfolding of your life, you go through experiences. So, and for me, I went through these experiences so that I could then walk my clients through the same thing. Because the programming, the mindset, all that stuff, it's a broken track record that is literally playing in every human's mind.
That's
you know,
right.
About what we're worth and what we're not, and money doesn't grow on trees, and all the other stuff that our parents who were raised by parents of the sons and daughters of the Great Depression, right? All of those mm-hmm. money stories were passed down to us. And, you know, I went through this myself. I remember, even though I had achieved all the success or achieved massive results for my clients, I had a real problem with stepping up and owning my worth. And when I first started back consulting again, I had my daughter, I took whatever work I could get. I'm just starting up again. I was like, oh, I've been out of the business world for 4 years. I need to learn more. Nothing much had changed other than on the digital side of things, still guiding principles of marketing were the same. And I remember I hired my first client who was like, oh, we're a startup. We really can't afford much. We're going to pay you this. And when we make money, we'll pay you more. And I bought into that story.
Yeah.
And I remember several months into our contract, they paid an outside consultant like $5,000. I don't remember what it was. Just flat out paid him to solve one problem.
Ouch.
And I was so frustrated. But more than anything, I was frustrated with myself.
Yeah.
Because I allowed that to happen. And that was the lesson. If you don't see, Jessica, if you don't see and own your own value, no one else will. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
So if, whether you are an entrepreneur who is undercharging or whether you have been passed up for a promotion, you know, at your job, overlooked, long overdue, haven't gotten a raise in the last 3, 5, or 10 years, that is you, your responsibility to step up and say, this is not what I'm willing to do anymore. And have them retroact that salary, by the way, if you're in your corporate, you know, step yeah. up and own your bonus, your pay structure, everything. Own your accomplishments and the value that you add to your clients or to your company.
So I love that. When it comes to owning your worth, owning your own value, how does a person go about that? What would you say?
Well, I think it's going to be different for whether it's for an entrepreneur, right? A little bit different. So always look at your wins and the things that you've accomplished, whether that's the results you've gotten for your clients or what you've done for the organization. So I always tell people this, you don't just walk in and demand more money, right?
I want more money.
I want more money. You have to show them and demonstrate because people's memory is very short.
That's right.
Right. So, you know, if you're working for an organization for 5 or 10 years, they probably forgot all the crazy things that you did for them. I mean, I've had clients come in and tell me that they found errors and, you know, that saved the company $3 million. Okay. Or that they created a strategy that added, you know, an additional 7 figures profit. What is that worth to that organization? And was that passed along to you? You know, so right. really taking an inventory, a personal inventory of your accomplishments with an organization or with your clients is going to help you to see your own value. The sooner you can see your own value and start to put it into words to articulate that, the faster you'll be able to own your value. When it comes to clients and entrepreneurs, a lot of times, this is not always the case. Sometimes you are marketing to the right people and you simply have weak positioning. Sometimes we do have to go after a different market, you know? So again, once you own it, and then we can start to build for entrepreneurs, either realign you to the right market who can afford what you want them to pay, or create the right message around your worth, your value proposition, strengthen you as a credible expert so that you can charge more. It's a little different between employees and entrepreneurs.
Yeah. But at the same time, it starts with, I would assume, you believing it.
Of course, you have to have conviction. Mm-hmm. You have to believe yourself, because whether you are selling the idea of, you know, a sale and with a new client, or you're selling a new idea to your boss, or you're selling the idea of giving yourself a big raise, you have to be able to speak from a place of conviction that you are certain and you believe what you're saying, because that is what will enroll others into saying yes, agreeing and moving forward in the way that you wish them to move forward.
Yeah. Now, what do you think about, because sometimes, and I hear this really more from women, but it's the, but I don't want to brag. You know, do you ever hear that?
Absolutely. Women are the ones who typically have the most work around self-worth. And I think that that is just a nature of how we're raised, right? Mm-hmm. And boys and girls, and that, again, that's a whole other discussion. What does that serve? Who does that serve? You better be your biggest cheerleader, because no one is coming up to bat for you. You need to stand up and shout it from the rooftop. And it doesn't mean that you're not a team player or whatever. Like, drop the story around bragging. You know, most of the time, if you look at it, women, it's interesting about the gender pay gap. If you heard the arguments around that, women are more likely to ask and accept, or to accept the first salary given. It's like, this is what we're going to pay you. Great. Okay. Men will negotiate. Same thing in promotions. Women are not asking. Okay. Same thing in business. Women tend to devalue and charge less than their male counterparts. Why? What does that serve? Brag on yourself. Be an advocate for yourself. You are doing yourself a disservice. You are self-sabotaging if you are not asking for what you're worth and doing everything in your power to make sure that you realize your dreams.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing too, Jessica, and this is what I liked about your approach there. What'd you say? Look at your wins.
Yes.
Right. If you're stating a fact, is that even bragging?
No.
It's stating a fact. This is what we've accomplished.
It's reminding them. It's
That's
reminding.
Right.
Well, and here's another trick for your listeners. And this is great for re-enrolling clients or for getting the promotion. Not only are you going to celebrate your wins and, you know, get the money as the part taken care of, but I also want you to future pace them to, you know, what they ultimately want to achieve as an organization, and show the gap, how far they are from it. And that is your plan when you're going to step in and take them to that next level.
That's great.
Remind them of the past, anchor them into the present with what you've achieved, future pace them, and show them everything that needs to be accomplished and what will be that end result when you, you know, when you focus and commit to achieving these goals with them over the next however many years.
Yeah, that's great. That's so practical, you know. One thing you said earlier too, I wanted to go back to before we kind of shift gears. You said that even your most successful clients all have that, the imposter syndrome.
A little bit, yes. I think the biggest thing, and I love this actually about people because it shows me that our values are aligned. One of the biggest concerns people have when it comes to stepping into selling bigger and bigger programs or charging a lot more money is they are concerned that, will I bring enough value? Because by the way, selling this is not just about attaching a big price tag. It's about delivering a massive transformation and quality delivery experience and all of this stuff. But that's actually a good thing, because that's an indicator that you have heart and you have an integrity, that you're not just in it for the money, that you really care. Yeah, it's a great place to be. So you just don't want to be stuck. You don't want to use that as an excuse to not do it. What you want to do is charge more and create an incredible experience for your clients, build in a ton of value so that you feel good. You have to feel good about what you're selling and the value that you bring. So it's a limiting belief, a little bit of a mindset issue, but it's something we can overcome with how we actually structure, how do we create your program?
Yeah. And is that how you help people basically, is how you, with that particular challenge?
With that first challenge. Yeah. There are five systems we put into place. And that first one is your offer, your impact system. And that's building out the who, the what, the how, all of that, which is the, think of it as the foundation of your house.
Yeah. Now you call that your impact system.
Yes.
Okay. Would you explain that just a little bit more?
Right. So a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with this one. You know, it's like, what am I selling? They have a jack of all trades, master of none. You know, they have too many offers. They're customizing proposal. Like, it's exhausting, right? Or they have a dozen different courses and a lot of complexity. We want to get you focused on one to two really high end offers, identifying who is the person you can solve the greatest pain for. What do they really want? Codifying what is that step-by-step solution, the bridge from their pain island to their pleasure island, or from their current reality to their ultimate reality, and then packaging that into a value-based high-end offer that you can easily sell or attach, you know, like I said, a high five or even six-figure package price tag to.
And so that you said there's five systems.
That's the first one.
And that's the first one. What are the other four? I know I watched your video, but what are the other four?
The second is your marketing, which I call your influence system. This is your ability to drive widespread awareness and excitement and demand for your services. So remember, I just talked about being a generalist, right? Jack of all trades, master of none. Typically, those are people who are stuck under 100,000 for entrepreneurs. When you move into a specialist, you can get into the kind of $250,000, $350,000 mark. It's where you pick a lane and you go all in. To move into expert category, that's when there starts to become, your name becomes synonymous with the problem that you want to solve. And so moving up that pyramid of influence is one of our focuses. That's where you can get to the seven-figure mark. Beyond that is celebrity status, and I don't focus there. But with that, essentially, there's three areas that we're working on. Number one is expert positioning. You have to be viewed as an expert online to charge bigger prices. Number two, it's building an audience. You do not need to have Gary Vee following or Grant Cardone. You do not need to have a million followers. You can have a very small network and it be very intimate, but it be very relevant. And that is the name of the game. We live in a distracted world. You need to create a high amount of relevancy with your intended audience. And the third is messaging, being able to cut through the noise, really speak to the conversation that is happening in that CEO's mind or that business owner's mind, so that there's an instant rapport, a know, like, trust factor, and they raise their hand to work with you. So that is the marketing system.
Yeah. I imagine that that could take some time.
Yes, it is. Success is a bit of a moving target, which is what I tell people in my program. So my goal is to get you 85% there quickly, and then to spend the remainder of our time together honing in on that more and more and more. But the marketing and influence system is huge. I mean, it is how you drive sales. The sales system is next, but we have to have leads in order to close sales.
Right. Do you find people hesitant to pick a lane?
I think most people lack clarity. They're confused and they're overwhelmed. Confusion creates overwhelm, right? And so one of the things I really focus on is a quote by Steve Jobs. It's one of my favorite. With focus and simplicity, you can move mountains.
Yeah.
So look at anything, any strategy, and make sure that it's not adding complication to what you desire to do. Think about the end game, what you want your life to look like. And when you can see how we can focus on that, how simple math can take you there. If your goal is 500,000, you know, divide that up by 10, $50,000 contracts. You know, that's all you need. So when you start to look at it simply from a math perspective and from a life design perspective, people are very quick to pick a lane and to go all in because they can see what they've been doing up until now is not serving them. It's creating chaos. It's creating confusion and overwhelm.
Yeah. I love that. Confusion creates overwhelm.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where most people are. They're stuck in a perpetual state of overwhelm, shiny object syndrome, listening, oh, I've got to be on TikTok. I better get on Clubhouse. No, you don't. You don't, you need to be where your ideal people are. LinkedIn is a great platform. I built my business, you know, on LinkedIn and it's phenomenal. So you don't have to be everywhere to be successful.
Yeah. Speaking of LinkedIn, because I know like you're really good at that and you've said like, it's a goldmine.
It is.
Yeah. How does someone like take advantage, how do they use that?
Right. Well, I mean, definitely you have to think of your LinkedIn profile as a landing page, as, you know, your website, if you will. So you need to optimize that. Then you need to add people that are in your target market, doing it the right way without being spammy, icky, salesy, that sort of thing. No sliding into their DM saying, you know, you're just in time for my webinar. Any of those tactics that might fly on Facebook, just forget them. They're not going to apply here. And then, especially if you're going in the corporate world, you definitely need to be even more mindful. Because if you are connecting with the CEO of a $25 million, $200 million company and up, you know, how you're going to treat that prospect is going to be even different than how I would approach someone. So you have to really build everything with a high level of professionalism. And then you do need to build your body of work. You know, you have to have content and not just crappy content, but really good content that will resonate with your ideal audience. And that's just a few things. There's lots we can do with LinkedIn, but general things that you can be doing.
Yeah, that's cool. So that's the first two. Five. What's the next one?
The third one is sales, which is your money system. Now, this is everything that happens before, during, and after a sales conversation. So it's having nurture in the front end so that they come pre-frame for the call. It's understanding how to hold the container for a sales conversation. It's knowing the difference between, say, you know, marketing to an selling to an individual than creating a pitch deck and a formal proposal process through for the procurement department, through the companies, all of those things we teach. And then what happens in the post-sale. So that create that sales system is really important. It's also about putting really important measures in place so that your time is protected. We talk about busy business owners, correct?
That's right.
So you do not need to be on the phone with people who have no intention of buying or who are not a fit. So one of the things we help you put in place is those protective measures. I always tell people, you know, 39% of people that apply to work with me never make it to a call. We then, that's automated. And then another 10% we reject. And that is not, that's only because we are not here to serve everybody. I'm very clear mm-hmm. with the kinds of business owners we're looking to help. This is not a mass market. This is a quality over quantity. And so if this is what you want to do with high ticket, you need to become very discerning with how you spend your time and only take on clients who can really become your biggest success stories, who align with your values, who have a problem that you can solve. Someone, especially if you're like me, who has group programs as well, someone that's going to contribute to the group dynamic, the energy, all of those things you have to be aware of. It cannot just be money focused or closing the next sale. It has to be integrity based and really big picture as well for the vision of your company and your clients.
Yeah. And I love that. Who could become your big success story as a
Absolutely.
Client?
Yeah. Do you want people who are not going to do the work, who you have to pull? And this is for anybody. Can you imagine whether this is an employee or whether you're a leadership coach or whatever? You don't want to be pulling someone kicking and screaming through the process of transformation, you know, having to beg them to do the work. You want people who recognize they have a problem. They're coming to you because they see that you can solve this problem. And they're not only willing and able to pay, but they're willing to do the work. There's a desire to transform. They are going to take action. And when you deliver that transformation, they will become big success stories for you.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. And there's something that you wrote, I don't know if it was in some of the back and forth that we did around, why am I always, what is it? I'm attracting people who can't afford me, something like that.
Yes.
Is that kind of what you're talking about here with some of that sales system? And also, I suppose the marketing, those two would go hand in hand.
Absolutely. And it's a common scenario. People say, hey, especially when they want to shift to high ticket, I'm attracting people who can't even pay me this little bit of money. How am I supposed to attract these? That is typically a messaging and positioning issue. You know, we need to dial in both of those. But not only that, it can be sales system because do not get on the phone with those people. Those people will zap your energy. Because think about it, you're not going to close them. You're busy. You know on that call that they are not a fit and that they're just wasting your time. Don't do that. Right. Do not do that. And by the way, if those people slip through the cracks, get them off the phone as soon as possible. I will never pitch someone who is not a fit. I get them off the phone quickly. And that rarely happens because of the sales systems we have in place. So you do want to protect your time, but then you also need to make sure that the marketing, the influence side of your business is built out right so that it doesn't happen as much. The reason why I have that 39% is because I'm also running ads. And when you run ads, that number increases. If you're just organic, you're not going to have 39% rejection. You're going to have maybe 20, you know, because there'll always be people who want to talk to you, even if they have no intention, right?
That's right.
Of moving forward. So
what's interesting there is the rejection. Usually we think about that as the salesperson gets rejected. Mm-hmm. I think it's a powerful shift when someone goes into that conversation thinking, wait a minute, this is about making sure it's a good fit for me and the value that I can provide as well.
Yes, I highly encourage that. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a lot of problems and a lot of regrets. It's not worth it to bring people in that are not a fit. It is not worth it.
No.
So that's why I don't believe in hard closing and I have nothing against NLP as a transformation around trauma or past life or whatever you want to use those things. I do not believe in it in the context of a sales conversation, any Jedi mind tricks, any of that. I think it's borderline, it's a gray area. So I don't want to be hard closed. I don't believe in it. You know, it is a conversation. If it's a fit, there's an invitation. And if they're not a fit, or if it doesn't work out, that's okay.
That's okay.
And it wasn't meant to be. And so if you can, number one, own your time. So you're not on the phone with, like I said, the fastest way to just kill your energy is to be on the phone with people who have no intention of buying or they're just to seek free advice. So try not to do that, but then also just to let go, like you're not here to hard close. No one wants to be talked into something. That is not a good position to be in. That will set up your relationship in a really bad place,
way.
Right? And so just, it's an invitation. There's no hard feelings, no hard close. If it's a fit, of course, there are going to be nerves that come up, you know, when people are investing, like that's normal, but it should be a yes on both sides. And you as the business owner should be discerning and you should choose your clients. I do believe that.
Yeah. And it's also better for them. If you 100%. Know that's not a good fit, that's okay.
It's okay. You know? And you're not mean about it. You're just like, okay, I wish you the best. Feel free to reach out if something changes in the future, or, you know, here's some additional resources, you know, to help you in your journey. You can be kind about it, of course.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's the third one.
Yes.
What's the fourth?
The fourth one is another like mega thing that we work on. It's systems and team. Now it's the most complex part of what I teach. It is the one that is, I say it's the least sexy, right? It does take the most time, but it ultimately creates the most freedom. And that is literally building out your systems. That means your internal systems for how you communicate with your team and project manage. It also means building your external systems so that you are growing your authority, growing your list, automating all of these things that free up your time. It's also solving the people problem. We have to remove you from the center of your business. We have to put the right butts in the right seats and do it when it makes sense cash flow wise. And we have to put the right person in place. So all of that is time consuming. It's not, I wish everybody could wave a magic wand and just systems and team are built out. It is one of the hardest things to do. We have a process for it and it works. It just takes time. But ultimately, as the business owner, we want to put those in place so that you can drive vision. Because you are the CEO, you might decide not to be CEO if you have an eight-figure company, but you're the CEO for now. You are the coach, the consultant, the trainer. I need you to own your method, own the delivery of that. Do not outsource that. I know it's tempting. It is you. You can add people, you know, to enhance the experience, but it needs to be you. Nothing worse than somebody signing up for something and then it's just their team delivering it. Like that is not good. So you need to own your method so that you get your clients' results. It's very important for high ticket and for growing your expert business. And then the third is be the PR spokesperson of your organization. You don't have to write a book. I mean, it's fine if you want to write one. You don't have to do all of these things that you think you have to do. But, you know, being a guest on other people's podcasts or being quoted in Forbes, all of these things are great. And they tap into what we call OPT, other people's traffic. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about your marketing strategy and, you know, what I call the ocean to pond strategy, you're going to places like LinkedIn, you're going on podcasts, you're going to where your ideal clients are, and you're pulling people from these great oceans of iTunes and LinkedIn and whatever it may be. You're pulling them into your proverbial pond. You know, you're drawing them in where you can nurture them create additional opportunities. And it absolutely should be part of your strategy.
Yeah. I think that reminds, when you were talking about there about, oh, do I need to write a book? Do I need to do this? You know, I think that possibly could go back to that whole thing around the confusion creates the overwhelm.
Absolutely. And that's a lot of work. Yeah. So a lot of people think a book is like the golden ticket, just like they think a course is the golden ticket. Guys, the course is not a golden ticket. If you don't have a large audience and you're not digital marketing savvy, how are you going to drive traffic to monetize that course? That is a very complicated strategy that I'm happy to break down for you. I don't even sell courses. I pulled mine from the shelf and mine were successful as a marketer, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the golden ticket. A book, I mean, you're talking about really a book, $100,000 and, you know, a year out before you're going to monetize it. $100,000. There's a lot more to it than just, I mean, to do it right.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they see this thing and they think they have to have it. And really, you don't. What you need to do is, first of all, have a true desire to solve problems. You know, like you need to want to do it. Then you need to have a way to connect with your ideal clients, something to sell them, and a process to close those sales. That's it.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. I told people all the time, I sold my first $30,000 and $50,000 packages off an order form, literally an ugly order form that says you get X amount of calls, you get this, and then they just bought. That was it. Cause I had the other things. I don't even have a book.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have all of these things if you focus on the principles that I've shared.
Yeah. And I love that, Jessica, have a true desire to solve problems.
Yes.
I mean, okay. So, and I don't want to miss it, but what's the fifth one?
The fifth one is something that is really not being taught in our industry and something I'm really proud of. And that is your delivery. And this I call the scale system, because so many coaches and consultants are teaching more marketing, webinars, ads, you know, churn and burn, just sign people on. And they often do that at the detriment to the quality of their delivery experience. And so, yes, if your goal is to get to a million, that's a wonderful goal. We want to do that while also being congruent with your values and delivering on what's promised. And that's why a lot of businesses, especially really young entrepreneurs, their businesses break when they hit a million, because it's somewhere along the way, they haven't built out the systems and the team and the delivery to handle the capacity, and they just focus on acquisition more. So yes, marketing is great, but honestly, it's a bit of a dance through all of these systems, and you need to create a quality experience. If you're going to charge people a lot of money, and I saw this happen in other programs where they drop the ball on onboarding and the coach doesn't show to calls, any of the things, none of that will work. You will kill your reputation. So when it comes to truly scale, I believe the way to truly scale is to scale through an amazing client delivery experience. That's how you create results. Yeah. So from the time you onboarding, they're like a newborn baby. You're holding them through this process. You're making sure that you are tracking them through the program, because the bigger the ticket, the bigger the value, right? There's more moving parts. Making sure that you're making good on your promises, good and big and small. There is a big promise with high ticket. You know, making sure that there's accountability and there's milestones and that they're literally reaching their objectives. So at the end of the time together, they have hit the goals that they paid you for. And you have a great success story, and then you can turn that success story into a case study, into your results that you share, and that will grow the excitement and demand for your services. The old adage is true. The more people that you help, the more that will want your help.
Yeah. And I love that. The deliver the value. I mean, just create that great experience for them. And something that really stands out as you're talking about how much of this is all around delivering on value and being congruent with your own value.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And it's key. And I will tell you, someone sign up the other day and they were blown away. They said, wow, this is part of the reason why I invested with you. And so for those of you thinking about programs, it's not just about the strategy. If you can be part of an experience where you can look behind the curtain and see how they run things, to me, that is just as valuable as all the strategy and tactics you're going to learn. And so having that feedback of like, wow, you're blowing me away with this, is a testament to the fact that that system does work. And it is very important to me as a business owner, and it's very important to my clients.
Yeah. I think that's a really great point that people could use when they're evaluating service providers. Mm-hmm. It's just what you said there. Because I've had both. I've had it where it's like, is there a process here? Like, I don't think there's a process. It seems so like, you know, ad hoc and and then those don't turn out well, you know, and the other ones are, wow, you know, from onboarding to even not just onboarding, from the way that we had our initial interaction, everything tells you about the experience.
100%. So that's great information. Pay attention to that.
Pay attention.
Yes.
Pay
attention to how that person shows up. Have they helped themselves get results or others? You know, pay attention to what they put out there and their process. You know, I'll share this real quick. There was someone who is a guru in the industry, you know, a titan, if you will, who put out an offer. And I was like, okay, I'd be interested to see what they got going on. You know, I'm always curious.
Why not?
And yeah, so I did the game. I commented on a post. Then they said, go back to the post, the link's there. Then I went to the link and it was a Facebook group. Then I went to the Facebook group and it was a video. And then the video said, there's no sales page. You have to DM me. And I just said, no way, I'm not doing this, because you're going to teach me that. My clients don't want that. They're busy business owners. If you can help me, let's have a conversation. Great. Anyway, it's funny, but it's important, like you said, to really pay attention to everything throughout that experience, because it will show you what the inside is going to look like. And I've been the same way. I'm someone who really thrives on structure, especially when it comes to strategy. I want step-by-step. I want it laid out. I want organized. I want visuals. I mean, all of those things. And so that's why I've created this for my program, because it's the only way that I want to operate, right? And it creates chaos and confusion if it's not there. If you're like, well, what are we doing here? When's the calls? you know, what am I supposed to watch here? My first coach was literally just sending me stuff ad hoc. There was no structure, and that's fine. It was my first one, but you know, I was like, okay, this is different.
Yeah. I think I can do better. You know, this is awesome. This is truly, Jessica, it's been like a masterclass. I'm so grateful that you've come and you shared all this. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you if they want to? All that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. So first, definitely my website, jessicayarbrough.com. I think you've got that. You can put in the show notes. And also, if you're interested in getting an insight into how my process works, whether you go to the website or in the show notes, my 7-figure case study is a 20-page document where we break down step-by-step how we took one of my clients who was stagnant at $250,000 to $300,000 for 3 years. We took her to over $1 million during COVID. And then we repeated that in 9 months of this year. And wow. She's now going to hit her goal of, I think we said 1.6 million year two, zero in ad spend. So really, really phenomenal case study. If you're interested in like, what is the insight of that? I'm really big on not only just showing results, but actually breaking down how exactly did you get to those results. And other than that, LinkedIn, I'm there daily. Send me an invite and let me know you heard me on this show and we can connect and go from there.
Perfect. I so appreciate it. This has just been awesome. So thank you so much. And yeah, I just appreciate your time and your wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Talk about passion and infectious energy. That was like a masterclass on how to scale as an entrepreneur. I also found a lot of it to be relevant for leadership as well. As always, here are my 3 insights for thriving. Number 1, I loved Jessica's perspective on the imposter syndrome. You know, that she believes that it means that the person has heart, integrity, and that they truly care about delivering value. That is a wonderful framing. And like she said, when we tap into the value that we are creating and delivering, and we tap into the wins that we get for our clients or our team, that is how we can maybe make peace with that feeling. I also think it's comforting that it's no matter how successful we are, everyone has a little bit of that. Insight number 2, if you want to change your mindset, you have to do something to change your reference point, which requires action. I know that this is one of my favorite drums to beat, but I so believe it to be true. I talked about this on one of my Rise and Thrive episodes, and you all know I love cross-country skiing, but there was a time when I wanted to become a better skier, and specifically, I wanted to become better at going down the big hills, you know, doing the expert runs. And it occurred to me at a point, if I want to do that, then I have to actually ski the expert runs. I couldn't just think my way there. I had to do something. And finally, insight number 3. I think that this last insight is something that is incredibly important for all of us, regardless of our role. Show up with a true desire to solve problems. Years ago, when I was working to put myself through college, I worked at a large law firm in Chicago. I wanted to advance. And I remember looking for ways that I could add value and solve problems. Because here was something that I noticed very early on. I noticed that a lot of people were really, really good at pointing out problems. That's actually kind of easy. But I also noticed that very, very, very few people were going to management to say, here's a problem that I see, and here's how I can solve it for you. That was my strategy. I never went and pointed out a problem that I didn't present a solution for. And that was the key to my advancement. I hope that you took away a ton of value. Before you go, make sure that you hit that subscribe or follow button so that you never miss another episode. I hope that you have a wonderful week and make sure that you thrive no matter what.